Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Paul Gentoli. Paul and his wife, Carla, are the owners of Warren Creek Farms. They farm two parcels, one in the Arcata Bottoms and the other one on Warren Creek Road. Paul is a third-generation Humboldt County farmer. Warren Creek Farm has been growing organically since 1987 and certified organic by CCOF since 1991. We were talking last week a little bit about some of the beans that you grow, and we started to talk a little bit about the potatoes, talking about saving the seed potatoes and the best ways to do that. What are your favorite potatoes out of all the potatoes that you grow?
I can't say that there's any one in particular, but I do tend to lean toward the yellow flesh varieties. I think they have excellent flavor, fairly well versed for different cooking methods.
Okay. Now let's talk a little bit about the squashes and the pumpkins too. I know that you're pretty well known for having the pumpkin patch out there, and that's out in the Arcata Bottoms. How did that get started?
It started years ago, probably about 19 years ago. We put in a small patch of pumpkins at Warren Creek for neighbors and friends and whatnot, and it slowly grew. Felt sorry for my poor neighbors having to put up with school buses coming down that one-lane road. And so when we started farming in Arcata Bottoms, we moved the patch down there because it's more accessible and easier for the public to get to.
And that reminds me, too, about all the different ways that you market your products to the consumers. One of the ways is doing direct sales out there at your Arcata Bottom site, and you've been doing that in the month of October. How did that get started?
It started with the pumpkin patch, and of course, if we're going to be there to man the pumpkin patch and we have all our other crops that we grow, we felt that it would be good to offer them for sale also. It started out where we were just open on the weekends, and in the last two seasons, Carla's kept it open during the week. Also, and it's a chance for people to come to the farm, walk around, see what we're doing, and buy a little bit of everything that we grow if they desire.
I'm amazed at the numbers of winter squash and pumpkins that you have out there for sale every year. There's just so many different varieties, and they're all so beautiful. What types tend to be the types that do well?
Boy, we grow so many different ones. We probably grow about 20 different varieties of pumpkins. Our major one is the Howden. It's just aesthetically correct. And we grow about 16 varieties of winter squash. There are a few that don't really do that well in this area, but the ones that we are growing work out pretty good.
I've seen that new to me, the kabocha or kabota. I've heard it said both ways. It's a winter squash, and it's a pretty dense squash.
Yes. We grow, kabochas are generally a soft stem variety. We grow a green kabocha, a gray kabocha, a red kabocha, a buttercup, that are all kabocha types. Excellent flavor and texture.
If somebody comes to you at the farmer's market and you're selling those and they say, well, what do I do with it? What would you tell them to do with the kabocha? Yeah,
typically cut it in half, scoop the seeds out, put it on a cookie sheet with a little bit of water and bake it in the oven.
And just a little butter on there, I think, at the end.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to talk a little bit about dry farming because that is one of the methods that you use in farming. Tell me a little bit about what that means to dry farm.
Dry farming is farming without any irrigation, and I mean any irrigation at all. So we have to really be careful how we treat our soil. Actually, late rains can be detrimental to us as dry farmers. We try and keep our soil structure real fluffy so it insulates the soil beneath it so we aren't having soil that cracks open. Soil that cracks open, the moisture will all just be wicked up into the atmosphere.
And you've also said that dry farming, the crops that you dry farm, end up being more nutritious and they store better. Why is that?
Less water content, something that's irrigated. It's going to wash the flavor, basically. The size is usually a little bigger on an irrigated crop. However, storage usually isn't quite as good as it is with a dry crop.
And which crops do you dry farm?
We dry farm all our pumpkins, our winter squash, our dry beans, our potatoes, our sweet corn, our decorative corns. The only thing that we don't dry farm is our brassicas, our green beans, onions, peas, a couple of acres of product out of the 40 acres that we grow specifically for farmers markets.
How far down do the roots go generally in dry farmed?
Till they hit water.
as long as that takes.
Yeah, and that's where if you irrigate a crop, it doesn't tend to put its roots down as far. It doesn't need to because the moisture is right there on the top. Uh-huh. The other thing is with the moisture on the top from irrigation, you'll have a lot more weeds to deal with. Where if it's dry farmed and it's dry on the surface, you won't get near as many weeds.
What type of weeds are problem weeds for you?
Pigweed, lamb's quarter.
One of the things that I think a lot of people are aware of is that the average age of the farmer in the United States is older. And I think that there should be some concern about who's going to be growing our food in another 20, 30 years from now. What do you think the future holds for young farmers in Humboldt County and in the rest of the United States?
I think we're pretty unique in this county, and I see a lot of young people starting to get into it again. I think it's real rewarding. It is hard work, and you have to be dedicated. If you aren't, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Do farmers generally mentor younger farmers? Have you mentored younger people to teach them some of the skills that you've learned?
Yes, I've had a few people that have worked for me in past years that are running their own farms now, and it's great to see that.
And that's probably a great way for somebody to learn the business. First of all, find out if they can handle the hard work that's involved, and then learn the business.
Yeah, it's always interesting to have them come back and go, boy, I didn't realize. it's really nice to see young people, and I think it's unique to this area. As you stated earlier, most people are leaving the farm at this point, and the average age of farmers are getting older. We really need to be concerned about that.
Do you have a next generation that's going to be coming after you for your farm?
No.
Okay. So one of these young farmers is going to have to step up and fill that place. How does the work vary throughout the year? I'm sure that you have seasons where you're really, really busy, and maybe you're busy year-round, but with different sorts of things.
Yeah, we are busy year-round. However, it does change. Usually in the spring, late March or early April, we start getting on our soil, tilling our winter cover crops in and prepping the soil. In May, we start transplanting out our brassicas and things like that. Most of the other crops are planted between May 15th to June 10th. Then soon after that, weeding begins. Very soon after that. And usually it'll take us into July, dealing with weeds and cultivating our crops and keeping them clean, getting them ahead of the weeds so that we get a good crop. Then just a little bit of a lull there, and then production starts in. Usually about the 4th of July, we're starting to come on with green beans and peas and things like that. As we move into late August, we're starting to cut our dry beans. Hopefully, we'll be harvesting those by the 15th of September and have that wrapped up a little bit later before the rains start. We're starting to harvest potatoes in August and just getting in full swing with that in September. And then we have to think about getting the produce stand ready and pumpkins and all that going. October is just a crazy month for us because a lot of the crops that we grow all need to be harvested that month, as well as keeping the pumpkin patch open and the produce stand open and selling to local stores. Usually harvest is delayed somewhat during that time, and we finish up harvest by the first part of November. But then we're in full swing with winter squash and potatoes to local stores, farmers markets. We also wholesale some to the Bay Area. And that will carry on into generally February. Last year's crop was a little light, so we're finishing up on some things a little early this year. But usually we've still got a few accounts going into April, and then it's time to
start all over again.
So you have to hurriedly try and repair any equipment that broke and all that good stuff.
Okay. Well, this has been a great conversation learning about family farming in Humboldt County. Thank you so much, Paul Gentoli.
You're welcome.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.